Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and really pleased to tell you that Dr. Henning is back with me to provide an update on another very exciting exploration story, that being Eskay Creek's project in British Columbia. They are onto a precious metals-rich VMS deposit next door to Eskay Creek. The Eskay Creek VMS mine, it's one of the richest gold and silver mines in the history of Canada. A very exciting story, but it looks like Eskay Mining may be on to a lookalike. It trades in Toronto. ESK is a symbol. You buy it down here under ESKYF, as I have. 160 million shares outstanding. $2.20 in Canadian money earlier today would give it a market cap of around $352 million or thereabouts. Might sound like a lot compared to some of the companies that we're following, but I think if you see what the upside potential is here, you might think differently of that. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin, to give us an update on Eskay Mining. The last time you were on this show to talk about Eskay was January 26th, so I'd like to ask you to bring our listeners up to date. On February 2nd, 2021, Eskay Mining reported that it received assays for all 20 holes drilled in its maiden drill season, and the headline number was 9.5 grams per ton of gold and 70 grams per ton of silver over a 35.5 meter intersection. Needless to say, that's a very impressive intersection, but could you give our listeners, that's just one hole, there's 20 holes in all. Is there a good continuity to these kind of numbers? I wouldn't expect everyone to come in that high, but give our listeners a sense of continuity, because continuity is usually very, very important in understanding the economics of a project.
Certainly. Look, let me just frame the actual geology that we drilled. We're mm-hmm. chasing precious metal-rich vulcanogenic massive sulfide deposits, and as you said, Eskay Creek deposit, which is nearby, was the highest grade gold deposit on Earth for many, many years. Okay, it produced phenomenal grades. I think 46 gram per ton gold head grade, and I think the silver was like 2.2 kilos of silver per ton. Absolutely crazy. Okay, so what we've drilled last year, the 20 holes that we drilled at both the TV and Jeff targets was the stockwork. It's basically the feeder part of the system to some newly discovered VMS systems. Okay, so we targeted this area through our geophysics and some surface work that the guys did midsummer last year. We ran in very quickly because the target was so compelling and started drilling. We got phenomenal results like the ones that you read. Now, continuity, what we did was basically poke holes into these targets from a couple of pads. Like, we didn't have the luxury to build umpteen pads, so we literally mm-hmm. just reached out like in fan-shaped arrays and tried to drill off as much as we could. So as, in terms of continuity, no, is the entire stockwork high grade like that? No, but there's a core part of it that is. Okay, mm-hmm. Around it, you see more like 2 to 4 gram, we'll call it gold equivalent numbers, in the periphery around the stockwork. Mm-hmm. Think of it like a giant carrot that goes in the ground, and the core of the carrot is grading very high grade like you described. And then the stuff around it is still grading pretty well, like 2 to 4 mm-hmm. gram gold equivalent. That's what we would expect. Now, what's really exciting is both these targets are wide open. There's absolutely nothing that cuts them off. So that high-grade interval that you read is open as you go into the hill. It continues. So mm-hmm. we will be running back in there and drilling some holes very quickly to follow up and evaluate how big that core high-grade area is. The other thing we're doing is we're going to start stepping up the hill because we want to find the place on the seafloor. You know, think of this like it's like a detective novel. Okay, we're trying to figure out where the fluids that were coming up through the ground back when this thing was a submarine deposit, mm-hmm. where they vented onto the seafloor, because if we can find that, that's usually where your Eskay Creek prize would reside. Okay, we want to find that super high grade blanket like deposit up higher. And we think, based on the work that John Dedecker and mm-hmm. Thomas Monicke have done for us here recently, we think we have a very good handle on that. That's going to be the thing that really gets all of us fired up this summer, is trying to find that exhalative component.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a massive project you've got. I mean, it's a huge land position, 526 square kilometers. I believe your efforts were on two targets, the drilling and those 20 holes at the Jeff what was it, the Jeff Target? There was two of the TV. Yep. Right. Yep. They're next to each other. And I think the last time we talked, you suggested they may actually be linked. It could be one link. But what the other thing is that those were, and the last time we spoke, Kirkland Lake had a 20% interest in those. They've recently, I guess, opted not to continue in the project. Is that right? And which means that you have 100% of this 500, and the whole thing, the whole ball of wax, not 526 square kilometers, 100% now. And I think you're very happy about that.
I am. Look, we have 100% of what could be one of the best discoveries in the Golden Triangle in many, many years. So I'm absolutely delighted. You are correct. The area between TV and Jeff is highly prospective for continuations of mineralization. There's nothing that says these things aren't connected. We also see other targets along strike. Basically, the entire anticline, the SK anticline, looks prospective for VMS. We also put out data subsequent to our last interview on the Blegg results. We got stream sediment results. These are very sensitive samples that give us a really good picture of what kind of prospectivity there is. And we've identified an absolutely whopping gold anomaly south of TV Jeff on the same trend, the same limb of the anticline. So mm-hmm. we think there's further potential to the south. We also found Blegg anomalies up to the northeast in an area nobody even dreamed of looking at. It's an absolute screaming anomaly. We found some over on the west side of the anticline. Like, long story short, we found many, many new targets through both our geophysical work and our geochemical work last year. We have, we're going to test not just TV Jeff, but we're going to go out and drill some of these new targets. How are we going to develop them further? We've got a SkyTEM survey starting momentarily. Okay, the SkyTEM is how we identify the sulfide at TV Jeff. We think if we fly SkyTEM over the rest of our property, and now that we have the money, we can do this, we're going to find many, many more targets, especially in these areas where there are clear high concentrations of gold and silver and other metals coming out of the ground in our Blegg samples.
Mm-hmm. John Dedecker, Dr. Dedecker, is one of the foremost experts, I believe, on VMS deposits. Isn't that right?
He and Thomas Monnicke is Mr. VMS. Okay, Thomas is here at the School of Mines in Colorado. Thomas is German. He studied VMS deposit. He's basically the, we'll call it the next generation of VMS experts. A lot of the older guys have retired or passed on. Thomas was really Mr. VMS. He did his dissertation at the SK Creek deposit, so he knows this area. Now, John Dedecker is an exploration geochemist. Okay, he's a very pragmatic, hands-on explorer. He studied under Thomas, so he basically has that, you know, collective knowledge. But he's very good in the field at, you know, sorting out data, identifying target sets. That's how he's identified six horizons, okay? Last week we talked about the six horizons that he's discovered. It's absolutely remarkable, the work that John's done. He's taken a story that, you know, quite frankly, has been overlooked and unappreciated, and he's now telling us, hey, there's six mineralized horizons, six prospective horizons in this unit. And there's also distribution across more or less the entire property for this style of mineralization. That's a good news story.
Well, it looks like you're going to have a very busy drill program this year with about a minute left or so. Can you just give us any idea of what that might look like?
Yeah, it's very aggressive. Look, we raised money last November. Two reasons for raising that money then. We had a reasonably good share price, but also we needed to secure our drills, helicopters, et cetera. The market's hot, okay? Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure we could drill. So we got $15 million in the bank. We have ability to drill on the order of 40,000 meters this year. We're going to go nuts, okay? We got four drills showing up on site soon, you know, like in the next month and a half or so. We're going to drill one drill at TV, one drill at Jeff, doing just, you know, methodical infill and step-out holes. We're going to have one drill go down to C10 and that new Blegg anomaly. We're going to have another drill over at Sibululu. Like, we're literally going to just hit this super, super hard. A lot of this is weather dependent. You know, there is snow up there right now. It might be that we put two rigs on TV or two rigs on Jeff or something initially. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the summer, we hope to have TV and Jeff fully, or more fully fleshed out, but also new discoveries. Okay, we think we'll probably find several more of these precious metal-rich VMS by the end of this season.
Very, very exciting time. Real quickly, you did invest in Garibaldi Resources. Is there anything more you can talk about with regard to what your strategy is there? Garibaldi is known for its copper and
I guess it's
nickel.
We're not focused on the copper nickel story at all. What we recognize is that there are three anticlines, and the third anticline, which we call the Western Anticline, is largely underneath Garibaldi's ground land package. Okay, so we took this position. I talked to Eric Sprott. He agreed to do a share swap. It gave us a very meaningful stake, almost 20% in Garibaldi, and it gives us exposure to that third anticline where we think there's good prospectivity. So it's that simple. It's simply a strategic investment.
All right. All right. We'll have to leave it go with that. Thank you so much, Quentin, for bringing us up to date on this very exciting story, and we'll look to keep up with you in the future on this one and more that you're involved with. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dick.